Now, I'll be talking to my guest now. Her name is Amandine Tellier. Amandine is a Parisian, is that the way to say it? Living in Ireland with her Irish partner and their little baby. So, hello, good morning, Amandine. Are you there?
Good morning.
Yes, yes. So, tell us about, I introduced you as someone who decided to change their lifestyle from a very glamorous one. So, tell us, what was your glamorous lifestyle?
Oh, I'm not sure if it's that glamorous. I was a
hard working
for Air France, flying all over the world. But I went to Thailand and realized that maybe happiness wasn't in money. A lot of people live in Thailand with just a little house, a little fire outside, loads of kids running around, and loads of smiles, loads of laughter, and I thought, oh, I better cop onto myself and try and stop chasing money and maybe chase a bit more happiness. So I went to study massage. I thought happiness was in healing, maybe helping others, because a cabin crew is wonderful. It's very, very rewarding, but at the end of the day, there's no long-term relationship with customers. It's just big smiles and care for others, but it doesn't actually go anywhere.
It's very hard work, so, isn't it? It's very hard work.
Yeah, extremely hard work. Yeah,
yes,
but
yes.
Yeah, very, very nice too. Like to see everybody from all around the world. Ireland is wonderful. People come home always very happy to come home. So that was very inspiring to see the Irish were the ones landing into Dublin with big smiles. Yes, we are happy to go on holidays, but also happy to come home. So came home to study massage, and after a whole year of studying health and massage, the teacher said, oh, you have to take supplements, you know, to be healthy. And I thought, surely there's other ways. So I went to learn how to grow my own food, study permaculture down in Kinsale and County Cork. And it was very, very inspiring to see that the closer you get to the land, the more resources you have. And
may I ask you, you're from Paris, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And so do you think living here is much different, or
extremely different? I mean, like Paris alone has doubled the population of the whole of Ireland, so smiles kind of just are reserved for family and friends.
That's interesting.
Very much stressful. So it's like when I moved to Ireland in 2012, people didn't run for the bus on a Friday evening. I'd say most people didn't really drink coffee either, so it was very nice to move into Ireland. It's a very nurturing country.
That's wonderful. I think there's a lot of great things happening now in Ireland. I think, you know, young people are looking for different lifestyles as well. Well, you're one of them, or many of them. So tell us how you decided to change your lifestyle. I suppose your lifestyle changing means everything that you do and think about has to change, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was very interesting studying permaculture, because it's all about earth care, which is something that we don't really think about when we work so hard and run about, spending, well, my days off maybe shopping, and then my days working, just trying to be on time and trying to look good and all that kind of stuff. So earth care, and then people care, which really resonated with me, and then fair share, which was like least waste and the most localized the better. And I just thought, wow, okay, that's exactly what I'm seeking. So I just went for it and met Matthew, and we moved to County Louth, and now we've been growing herbs and vegetables. We sell the potted plants in markets.
Yes,
every Saturday at the Green Door.
Yes, it's a very interesting place. You meet really interesting people with different lifestyles who change their lifestyles into better ones, and they are not afraid to talk about it either. So, which is a wonderful place. I mean, I go there because I try to eat organic, and so I buy sometimes your flowers and bunches of beautiful flowers and herbs. Tell us about your learning about being a herbalist, isn't it?
I'm learning to be a herbalist. So the more time I spend with plants, the more time they swallowed me into to finding out more about them. So I'm becoming a bookworm. I have plenty of books about them, and I love to find out, oh, I've got a cold, surely there's a remedy for that, or there's a way, or maybe I'm running hot, or I don't sleep at night, or surely there's a plant in the garden that can help me. And it just led me to, oh my God, I really want to delve into it, because I've realized by watching people at the market staring at a plant and running into this kind of dream world in 2 seconds, because they've just off the bus or off the traffic or just after paying their parking ticket or whatever, and they have this spark from eating a really tasty strawberry or looking at a flower. And I thought, wow, that's it. If we get people to fall in love with nature again, they'll start looking after the planet a bit better. And it's really what's happening in the Green Door. It's amazing to see people just coming to a community, because it's Dublin, it's busy, but at the same time, it's lovely to have a little bit of a community with familiar faces. And people build up little habits that, you know, we have a chat and we have a sharing of whatever is on our mind that week or whatever is the solution of the week. Herbalism is wonderful. We can use it every day.
Do you think, for instance, like in Ireland, I'm sure that this herbalism goes, it's prehistoric sort of people work with plants. I was reading about permaculture recently, but I know that I'm from Sri Lanka, and there is this permaculture. It's quite prehistoric, and there is this Candian forest methods. Have you heard of it?
So myself and Matthew are very interested in grafting trees, because, you know, if you grow the wild apple or the wild pear, you won't be getting as tasty and as prolific and cropping, you know, fruit. So you kind of stack all the varieties and whatever you want. If you want to grow plants for fiber, if you want to grow plants for nuts or fruit or roots or mushrooms, you know, you can have it all as long as you leave enough light for everybody. And then it's amazing to see wildlife move in. I mean, every year we've new insects we've never seen before, and we just keep on planting seeds and planting trees and grafting them and growing herbs, growing perennial vegetables. So that means they're foods that we don't need to plant every year. They just crop every year. They get bigger every year, and they're even more prolific every year. It's so wonderful and inspiring to see how nature is so resilient. This year was maybe really poor in apples and for us anyway, and plums, because the bullfinches ate all the fruiting buds in the snow. But yet we had, you know, tons of strawberries and tons of other root crops and loads of grapevines, and so it's grapes.
Do you know, because you're a grower, you're a farmer, let's say, and the thing is now that the nature is changing, and people used to have rituals for, harvesting festivals and all kinds of festivals for nature. But I suppose people have gone away from it. And now they have to think again about nature, because nature is changing, and that it's actually affecting us, isn't it? Affecting our plate.
Sure, look at a field. The fields are really lonely. There's just grass and that's it, or there's just bare soil, you know, or just wheat or just corn. It's so interesting to grow more than one variety, and then there's always something that does good, you know, and it's lovely to realize, and I'd say that's why people like nature, because there's this feeling of abundance, and maybe like my teacher was saying yesterday, Keith Robertson, that the biggest disease these days is loneliness, and when you're in a forest, you don't feel lonely, you feel a bit nurtured. And when you're in an orchard or in a garden, you feel that abundance and that nurturedness. And we all, it's weird to think, oh, when was the last time I felt really loved? The last time I felt so nurtured and at home? And I guess those festivals need to come back, those harvesting festivals, the celebration of each other as well, you know, singing together is one of those ways we feel so nurtured, you know, we're surrounded with loads of people singing and feeling, you know, open-hearted. It's so important in today's life, where we just, you know, forget to pause and be with each other, as opposed to compete or
you look at nature and you kind of mimic nature in your lifestyle as well. Is that it?
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit more about it.
There's so many technologies that are wonderful, but at the end of the day, looking into the flame of the fire, I am so grateful I can light the range or the stove in the morning and look into, you know, it's a ritual, and it's just so natural at the same time, and it brings warmth, and it's the warmth that I need. It's not electric, it's not fake, and it doesn't have, you know, so many buttons to go wrong, or it's one of those, the same as, you know, looking out the window and appreciating the drops this morning on the hawthorn. And I'd be harvesting dandelion ripes this week and drying them, and it's a ritual as well, because I'll be using it for the rest of the year, maybe once or twice a week whenever I feel a bit sluggish or maybe hungover or whatever. It'll be a nice way to appreciate my liver and infuse those roots in a bit of hot water. Or we'll be also harvesting hawthorn, and it's really nice to kind of see, okay, the birds from Scandinavia have moved in now eating the hawthorn. I better harvest my own, otherwise in 2 weeks there'll be none left, you know. So
when you gather herbs, or say you were talking about hawthorn is a very special tree in Ireland, isn't it? You see, the fairy tree, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Hawthorn is really good for the heart and the circulation. And yeah. I think it's amazing to think that it's all around Ireland in hedgerows.
Like a
spider web uniting the country. Somebody said, oh, back in the day you could be a squirrel in Mayo and, you know, like come never ever have to come down a tree, like be the little squirrel going all the way over to Rosslare. Today it's the hawthorn that links the whole country like a big, big heart over the home country. Some people say Ireland is the heart chakra of the planet, and I really feel it—the green, you know, the vibrant green and the loving spark in people's eyes. I mean, we forget to appreciate the hawthorn, but I'd use the leaves in the spring and the flowers and then the berries, and yeah, it's beautiful wood. I mean, if you ever a hedge layer or something like. We can use hawthorn as a stock proof fence for animals so they can't go through. And when you cut the wood in the winter, it smells so beautiful.
Mm. And the flowers are beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember once I suppose we appreciate, as migrants, we probably appreciate Ireland more than people who lived here for many generations.
Yeah.
You know, so we see it in a different light, maybe. But and much more in technicolor than people who are, you know, it's kind of normal for them to see every day. But I remember bringing in a hawthorn, a beautiful branch of hawthorn, and somebody told me, "Oh, don't bring that in. It brings ill luck or whatever."
Yeah.
Have you heard of what was that about? Do you think?
I'm not sure. It seems to be the same for a lot of flowering trees.
Ah.
I'm not sure. I mean, there's so much superstitions out there for the elder as well, even though it's such a life-giving plant as well. You know, the berries are so good for the cold season. And hawthorn, it'd be the same for blackthorn as well. I guess it was superstition. I mean, you know, in Celtic times, you would have gotten your hand cut for chopping the wrong tree. You know, it's a respect. You know, the trees are here before us and after us. We need to worship them and not, like, just go around clipping them like they're nails.
but I suppose trees have been, a symbol of most religions, or the moon and the stars as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, they give us oxygen. We wouldn't live very long without oxygen. So
now, you are doing herbalism. Do you use natural remedies that indigenous natural remedies? Could you talk a little bit about it?
Oh yeah, absolutely, all the time. Like for a cold, you know, you could go to ginger and lemons, which have come on a long journey over, or you could move to the elderberries and, you know, boil them up. Or I usually harvest them and freeze them until I have time to make syrups with them, or maybe just freeze them into ice cubes. I boil them up first, make sure I get the seed out, because the seed is not particularly good for us. And the juice of the elderberries is just incredible antiviral and antibacterial. Even for flu, you know, the flower is really, really good for dealing with flu. And carrageen moss, the seaweed, is wonderful for easing out the dry coughs I just boil it up. Show me licorice, but it's certainly not native, but it grows so well in this country, I'm just really overwhelmed. We planted it as a tiny little, maybe 3 centimeters high plants, and now they're just taking over. They're taller than me, and they've these massive roots that we dig up now, probably this week or next week, and chop them up. Same thing, one of the best antivirals out there, which is really nice when we think that, you know, the doctors would just send you home if you have a virus these days. They don't bother giving us antibiotics, so
it is a good thing not to give antibiotics.
And it's gentle, and it has so many other properties, you know, like the licorice would be very good for dealing with stress and enhancing mood and moistening the whole machine, really, that the human body is. It's a very inspiring herb, because it also fixes nitrogen for the other plants to grow well. So
I suppose that's what permaculture is about, isn't it? You have, instead of using using quick remedies, you can grow plants to combat diseases in other plants, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's lovely companion planting. I mean, to be honest with you, I think a disease in plants is very similar to humans. If the plant is run down, if it's hungry, it's gonna be unwell. It's gonna be more likely to get infected by a mushroom disease or, you know, insects invasion. So if we use plants like comfrey, they're gonna be able to feed the tree and also cover the ground, so it doesn't it doesn't need much maintenance. It's just there to nurture the tree and bring tons and tons of insects, so the insects can overwinter and be there to look after whatever invasion is coming next year. I mean, like, if we see a pest here, we would just be more likely to plant more things around it. So the better. It's a bit like the bacteria in the stomach, you know, or the gut.
Yeah.
The more there is, the better there is. It's all about diversity. And and then it means that any time of year we go outside, there's always something that's green. There's always something that's doing really well. And the comfrey is another one. It's just amazing. People have been using it for forever to heal wounds and treat the mucous membranes. It's so rich in minerals. It's incredible. If we want nourishing fruit and flowers and leaves, it's so important to use these plants that have extremely deep tap roots, and they go and get all the minerals for us from deep down and bring it up, and then when the leaves die back, we can just chop the comfrey 3 times a year under the apple tree, and it'll provide everything the apple tree needs. It's just really humbling to see that actually the apple tree doesn't need us, you know. We just need to plan well, because that's what permaculture is about. It's all about planning, same way we plan house well, so we don't have to fix it every 5 minutes. Nature is really, really clever, so we can just look at it and see how things, or even watch animals, what do they eat when they're not well. Like the cows, you know, would go towards the wild garlic in the spring, and we do the exact same thing, you know. Permaculture is all about being humbled and look at nature and say, okay, I'm not the most clever thing here, because
Amandine, I have this, since you're from Paris and you're French, and people think, you know, food is a very important thing. You know, you're connected with the haute cuisine, if I spell it, pronounce it properly. But so is there a haute cuisine in organic cooking? I'm sure you cook and you do a lot.
Well, to be honest with you, the big revelation for me has been greens. I like to eat as many greens as I can, because most of our tooth decay or bone problems or health problems in general are from the lack of minerals. I mean, the land is depleted in mineral from the way agriculture has been going, you know, growing crops year in and out, very, very much the same crop every year, depleting the soil of the same minerals, grain mostly, I guess, and then I'm buying that in the supermarket, and it actually depletes me of minerals as opposed to actually replenish me. So my solution to that has been to eat a lot of wild greens like dandelion and mallows and plantain, and so yeah, I make a point of eating them every day to replenish my body of minerals, because you know magnesium is incredible at bringing down any pains or inflammation, and most soils have 70% less magnesium than they did in the 50s. So we need to make sure that, you know, it's good to get a Epsom bath. You know, it's very Epsom salt baths. People are big into this, but actually in the garden there's so many greens that we can just throw in the pot, add loads of butter. That's the French style, you know. You just, as long as you add butter or cream, it's gourmet, you know.
Butter and cream makes it gourmet. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so do you cook much? Tell us. Do you have few recipes? Could you tell us?
We cook a lot. The range is funny because I mean, most people in Ireland would have maybe known their grandparents or their parents with a wood range. To us, it's a way. We've had a lot of power cuts recently, and it's amazing to know that, you know, we're warm and we have lovely food, and we even have the oven on, and it's almost like anything that's cooked in the range is delicious. We go and slaughter our own, assist in the slaughtering of our own sheep every few months, and we tan the skin, we put plenty of salt on the skin, and it's a way to be grateful to the animal. It's just like, well, we'll really enjoy your meat, and we roast that in the oven. And it's when you use quality food, it doesn't need as much decorating and as much as many ingredients. You know, if you have a really tasty tomato, then in the sun this summer, for example, it barely needs any oil on it. You just put a pinch of salt and a bit of oil, and it's delicious. You know, there's no need to have 30 ingredients on it, and that's where organic food comes in. It's generally more tasty and more vibrant, more vital.
I suppose fresh food always tastes much better. The problem is that most food has been kept for some time in warehouses, or, you know, in I don't know, they use all kind of new technology in keeping it fresh, as they call it, I suppose.
Well, it's more even that the varieties are designed to look good and to keep in the fridge. When I grow a pepper or a tomato or anything on the land, you know, we bring it in and we eat it.
Yes.
That's where the most flavor and the most mineral and nutritional content is.
When I listen to you, it's not you know, easy work. You have to devote your life to it, isn't it? Like most people are working, and you have to stop work. If you take the practical side of it, you are working there now at home as well. But I suppose it takes time. Your life has to be in it.
Yeah, like I've met so many people at the market that have made more time to connect with nature.
Yes.
Go into the woods to harvest, chestnuts or acorns, and bring it home and making cakes out of it, or rose hips at this time of year.
Yes.
Rose hips are amazing. You know, it's just about spending a little bit more time. Even I've had so many customers that started out with a balcony garden, and then they moved into the local allotment or the local community garden.
Yes.
And they're so delighted to have met other people, because it kind of is about that too. You know, it's about sharing your
yes.
passion or sharing your interest, and then you learn so much from others. Books
yes.
are great, but
yes. it's a community thing, isn't it? Community
absolutely.
Garden. Yes.